you're happy and having a good day. The text that was read this morning is one that most everyone is well acquainted with. It's one that's been used in a lot of sermons. I'm not going to be using this text in the typical way this morning, but a little different thought in mind as I ask the question, what controls your life? I recently told you about the time that Faye and I got lost hunting for a Christmas tree. And this was going to be our first Christmas together. And we were married in 1976, so this was just before Christmas, 1976. A few days earlier, I'd been out hunting. I'm not a hunter. I don't know what I would have found if I'd found it. But I was out hunting. I'd borrowed my father-in-law's rifle, and I was out just roaming the woods, just looking around, and I came upon the most perfect evergreen. Beautiful. It would make such a perfect Christmas tree. So I marked that spot in my mind, went back, and the next day, it was Friday evening, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, late in December. Does that tell you anything? And so Faye and I started out to go through the woods to find and to bring back this, our first Christmas tree. I remembered that we were to go over 3 hills around the slope of a 4th, and there the tree would be waiting for us. Well, after we went over and under and around again, we couldn't find the tree. It started getting dark. I didn't bring a flashlight because I didn't think we were going to be out that long. The light faded, darkness came. We were no closer to locating the tree or to finding our way back home. So I was getting a little nervous. I mean, this was my new bride, and I'm responsible for her safety as well as my own. So I knew I didn't want to have to stay out in the woods all night. I got to find a way home. Well, it was a moonless night. There was overcast with clouds. We couldn't even see stars. And so it got pitch black. And I felt a fear growing inside of me. Panic started to set in. And finally, off in the distance, we heard a car horn blowing. Car horn blowing. Faye's mama was guiding us home. And so it was like a beacon, and we followed that thing. We got home about 7:30 that night, doctored our cuts and scratches, and thanked God for helping us get out of there. The next morning, I went out by myself and found that thing with no problem. But I have never forgotten that feeling of being lost. It is a very, very bad feeling to be absolutely lost and don't have a clue how to get home. We don't like the sound of that word, do we? Whether it's a lost child, a lost dog, or even a lost book, none of us like hearing the word lost. People lose their way so easily, don't they? And there's 2 different ways of getting lost that I'm referring to this morning. You can lose your place. You can forget where you were or where you are and lose your way, you lose your place. Or you can lose track of time and be lost in that sense. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the 3 stories about lost. He talks about lost sheep, talks about a lost coin, he talks about a lost son. When one is lost, they need help. They're not sure which way to go. And we all need help maintaining our relationship with God. Now, I want you to make a sharp turn with me this morning. Okay, this is not... I knew it was going to happen. Just as sure as the day is long. There it is right there. I got to hit the play button. Now we're cooking. No, we're not. Am I switched over to Apple TV? Oh, this is just lovely. I didn't do this right somehow. Stan, come here.
or else go there. I'm not sure which way to tell you to go. I'm lost. Sir? I decided to try technology. It is not my friend. Technology is like a two-headed rattlesnake. It'll bite you going and a coming. And that's just exactly what's going on with me. All right. So there we are. Thank you. Did you hit play? Thank you so much. If it were not for technological geniuses, we would still be using hammers and chisels. All right. So the text that we heard this morning from James is very familiar when we ask the question, what controls your life? What is it? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And certainly we must make plans for our future. We buy insurance policies as a plan for our future. We set up retirement plans. We make investments all about preparing for our future. You want to help your children go to college. You don't just get up one morning and say, it's time for them to go to college. Reckon where I'll get the money. You have to plan for these things. You have to make preparation. So there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when people do not include God in their plans. This was the problem with the rich fool who had a great crop. Where'd he get that crop? God gave it to him. But he didn't take into God or the account about God. He just decided, I'm going to tear down my old barns and build bigger barns and store up much goods for myself for many years. And that's exactly what his plan was, but he did not include God in his plans, and God said the man was a fool because that night his soul would be required of him, and then whose would these things be? He made plans without including God. Now, so I make this sharp right turn and ask this question. What controls your life? The compass or the clock? Which are you controlled by? You know, the clock is an amazing, complex instrument that measures time. It tells us what time it is. It tells us the immediate present, but that's all it can tell us. It can't tell us anything. It doesn't remember the past. And it certainly cannot tell us anything about the future. It does not give us time, it does not create time, and it does not end time. It simply measures time. And in our society today, the clock governs so much of who we are, what we do, and when we do it. In fact, the clock is really a measurement of stress in so many cases. The clock reminds us of how much time has passed, and time, that's time we no longer have. It certainly cannot predict how much time we have left. In our world, the clock controls when we get up and when we go to bed, how fast we live our lives, how hard we push, how long our day is, how fast we drive, when we start, and when we finish. The clock seems to be in charge. It seems to dictate our schedule and change our priorities. What time is it? That's far likely to be more a question of anxiety than simply seeking information. Time is a tool to be used, brethren, but it must not be allowed to control our lives. We must not be controlled by the clock. Now, we Americans like to start on time. And we like to stop on time. We enjoy that. And I've told you about my adventures in India that went, and Stan in Bible class was telling us some of his adventures in Guyana, and it's much the same. They don't necessarily start based on the clock. They start based on the calendar. And so as long as you're there that day, you're not late. That's just kind of strange to me. Is that strange to you? And so if you have a meeting that's scheduled to start at 7 o'clock at night, but if it doesn't start until 8:30, so what? They'll still be there. They're going to be there waiting on you. They're not going anywhere because they know it's coming today. And they know how things are in India and in Guyana and in so many other places in the world. There's holes you have to cross. We've been through some roads that the hole was so deep you could go down in the hole and have to come out the other side. Okay? I mean, it's just the way it is on some of these roads. So yeah, getting to a place on a specific time is a little tougher in so many places in the world. But we are so used to well-paved roads, well-maintained vehicles, the means by which we can get somewhere, schedule the time, we're going to be there right on time, not going to be late. We are governed by the clock. However, the compass, on the other hand, is a very simple instrument. It does one thing. It points to the north. That's pretty much it. That's all it does. It points to the north. Now, if you're out at sea, which would you rather have, a compass or a clock? If you're out on a mountain trail, which would you rather have, a compass or a clock? You see, the only purpose the compass has is to provide direction. That's it. That's its only function. To provide direction. It doesn't matter how expensive or inexpensive. It doesn't matter how complex or how simple compasses are. They have a simple point, a simple purpose. Point north. That's what they do. They point to the north. You can turn the thing around any way you want to, but that compass, that needle is going to keep turning and it's going to point to the north. That's what it does. The compass is a valuable tool when you need direction. It really comes in handy. It can help us establish a course. It can help us maintain a course. It's a direction you can trust even when you don't know where you are. And because the compass provides certainty in times of uncertainty, it is an instrument of comfort and reassurance. You can tell I'm on the right track. I'm headed the right direction. I remember this terrible story of a man who was dreaming. He was dreaming one night that he was drowning. He was underwater. And of course, when you're underwater, it's easy to get disoriented. It's easy to lose your sense of direction. And so in his dream, he's needing air so bad, so he's kicking and swimming as fast and as hard as he can, trying to break the surface of the water. He's headed for the surface of the water, and he reaches up, and with his last gasp of effort, energy that's left in his body, he reaches as far as he can to break the surface with his hand, and he grabs a handful of sand. Headed the wrong way. I can't imagine losing my sense of direction and not having a way to find it. A compass is a way to find it. Brethren, the Bible is a compass. I should say it's like a compass. Why should we look to the Bible like a compass? Well, its basic purpose is to direct us toward God. Its basic purpose is to show us the way to God. Jesus Christ is the compass needle, if you please, that always, without fail, points us in God's direction. He will always lead us to God, never away from God. And when we have no sense of direction in our life, when we are confused and disoriented, when we're not sure where we are or where we're going or how to get there, the Bible focuses our attention on Jesus Christ, and He focuses our attention upon God. You know, throughout the Bible, one essential, basic responsibility of every person in all the ages that have been and all the ages to come, find God and move toward Him. That's our basic responsibility. Consider the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. What was the primary purpose of the plagues in Egypt? What was the primary purpose for the plagues for those that were enslaved in Egypt? It was to direct them toward faith in God rather than faith in the gods of Egypt. To direct them toward faith in God. Archaeologists have concluded that the 10 plagues were directed against 10 major gods in the land of Egypt. And so it was a way of showing that these gods were not real. But this one God, the God that sends these plagues, is the true and living God. It was designed then to direct them toward the living God whom they did not know. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, they say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. What was the primary purpose of Israel's experience at Mount Sinai when God's presence was up on the mountain and He gave them the Ten Commandments? It was to establish God's identity in their minds and in their hearts. They weren't allowed to touch that mountain. They were to respect God enough. They were not allowed to touch the mountain. If any man or animal touched that mountain, they would be struck dead. They would be killed. It was to establish God in their minds and in their hearts. And of course, give them a sense of direction. God is going to lead us. We can trust Him. What was the primary purpose of Joshua's statement at the end of his life when the nation of Israel, when he challenged them to forsake idols and serve the living God? This famous statement in Joshua 24 and verse 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was simply trying to persuade them, turn to God. And he challenged them to follow God. So, and what was the primary purpose of David's Psalms and the prophets and the message that they gave? It was to show who God is and give them a sense of direction that would lead them to God. That was the purpose of these Old Testament writings. We are told in the New Testament the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope in what? Hope in God. Hope in God. When you think about the early Christians, you consider the direction of their life. How were they guided? Was it by the clock or by the compass? What was the primary purpose of Jesus' death on the cross? Well, it was to show who God is, this God who loves sinful people enough that He was willing to sacrifice His own Son in order to for them to have forgiveness, to provide a sense of direction that could lead all people of the earth to God. The purpose in the resurrection? Well, it was to help us see the God who not only would redeem us, but would raise us all from the dead on that great day. To give us direction that would lead us to God while we live in a world that denies God. What was the purpose of the evangelism and the teachings that went on in the book of Acts? To show who God is, not only among the Israelites, but also among the people of the world. To give people a sense of direction that would lead them to God. And again, the purpose of the New Testament letters, all of the epistles that were written to all the churches, to the individuals, it was to help believers to focus on the true and living God and to help them maintain the right direction as they followed God, even though they were living in an evil and unjust world, just like we are today. Brethren, Jesus is the needle of the compass. He is the focus of the Bible. The Old Testament pointing to Christ. Then when Christ came in the Gospels. And then from the rest of that time on, from the book of Acts through the book of Revelation, again the Bible is pointing to Jesus. He is the one that will lead you home. Follow Him. Follow Him. And He will lead you to God. He is the needle of the compass. You know, He's always shown people the way to God. He's never once lost His sense of direction. Never once was He deceived. Never once was He ever led off course. When Satan tempted Him face to face, Jesus stayed on course. When the Pharisees challenged and attacked Him, Jesus stayed on course. When His disciples argued and misunderstood, He stayed on course Himself. When one of His best friends betrayed Him, Jesus didn't change His direction. He stayed on course. When the disciples deserted Him at the time of His arrest, He stayed on course. When He was tried and falsely accused and condemned, ridiculed and abused, He stayed on course. And when He died hanging on that cross, His course was to show men God. In Hebrews 4 verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." He was never off course. And Jesus will lead us safely home to the Father. If you want to know who God is, you start with Jesus. You're not going to know God if you don't know His Son. And as you struggle in life, if you want direction that will point you to God, you start with Jesus. As Jesus declared to Philip in John 14, verse 6 through 9, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so with you so long, and yet you do not, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." This is the beauty of this whole thing, brethren. You see, Jesus will lead us safely home. He will take us home. He will never leave us nor forsake us while we're here. He watches over us. He's with us. But He's also at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And on that great day, when Jesus comes again and takes His people home, you can hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You can hear Him say, "Enter into the joys of your Lord." You don't want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." You don't want to hear Him say that. He will lead you safely home, but you and I have to follow. We have to follow. So the question is your life ruled by the clock or by the compass? If you're honest with yourself, as you examine how you live your life, you'll be able to tell which is in control. The clock or the compass. Now beware, beware. Clocks run down. Clocks have to be wound, or the battery has to be replaced, or there's got to be an electrical current plugged in to keep it running. And even if you have an infinite power source, eventually clocks run down. They're not always there. They're not always reliable. But the compass is always steady, pointing north. The compass will never lead you the wrong direction. So when we meet God, and we will, there will be no clock in heaven. There'll be no clock. Time will be no more. But the compass will still be there, pointing us to God. If your life follows the same course it's on right now, where are you headed? If your attitude that's going on in your head, in your heart right now, never changes, where you're headed. If things continue to happen in your family as they're happening right now, where's your family going? If your pleasures of right now never change, where are you going? If your priorities that govern your life right now do not change, where are you going? Is your life on course headed to God? Are you following the direction of the compass every day in all circumstances? Follow Jesus. Live by the compass, not by the clock. As you consider then your life and your relationship with the Lord, if you stand before Him today, what will you hear Him say? What will you hear Him say right now? Consider that. If you're not a Christian, you need to make your life right with God. You need to become a child of God. You need to believe in Jesus enough that you will repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away so that you can be a child of God and God can write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven can be your home. If you've not done that, you need to do that, or you will not hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You'll hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If you're already one of His people, but you've not been allowing Jesus to direct you the right way, you've been following some other path, some other lead, or some other guide, then you need to repent. You need to turn back to Him so that He can help you turn back to God. Whatever your situation today, if there's a way we can help you to make your life right with God, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.